Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of August 27, 2021. This week we pray for all who are afflicted with COVID and for those dealing with vaccine injuries and illnesses. We pray for Christian missionaries throughout the world and for those seeking the Lord's protection from cruelty or danger around the world. Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 4. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live. And go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare boldly as I ought to speak. Our gospel reading is from the 7th chapter of St. Mark. And Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand, there's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable, and he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Thus, he declared all foods clean. And he said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The reading for our discussion today is from Genesis chapter 48. After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession. And now, your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. As for me, when I came from Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also." Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand, and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, and said, "The God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life along to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you Israel will pronounce blessings, saying, God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am about to die, but God will be with you, and will bring you again to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you rather than to your brothers one mountain slope that I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and with my bow." Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. For those who hear them, for those who know what they mean, the words I just spoke mean everything. They are not idle words. They describe what we as Christians believe about reality. There was a hymn from the Lutheran hymnal from years ago called "The World is Very Evil." Just when we think things are getting better, when we begin to believe that there could be peace and prosperity for everyone and human utopia throughout the world, we get an ugly view of things as they really are in this world. The world is evil. There have always been wars, great cruelty, and destruction. Some people wonder why God allows these things, and so there are folks that may come to think that our righteous God doesn't mind it. But that is not true at all. Understand, the world is evil because there were two people in the very beginning who chose for the world to be this way. They wanted to be like gods. Though they were tempted by the devil, disguised as a serpent, they coveted a fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so their taking and eating of that fruit was when the safety net of perfection and God's complete provision for all our needs was taken away. Yes, think of a circus performer on the flying trapeze. Think of an entire troupe of performers. The leader is supremely confident in his ability to make the jumps and complete the stunt safely. Others in the troupe, not so much. Yet, he tells the stage crew, "Remove the nets!" This is humanity. The nets have been taken away. God's protection has been pushed away. We can do it on our own, said Adam and Eve when they ate of the fruit. It is not that God doesn't provide. It is not that God doesn't answer our prayers. It's that our ancestors brushed off a full relationship with God so that they could control their own ways and their own destiny, or so they thought. Yet, it is God who sustains all life and breath. Their sin brought about humanity's separation from God, and if they were to eat of the tree of life, they would have been separated from God forever in a living hell on earth. So a consequence of their sin was banishment from the garden and death. Death is a curse, but it is also a blessing. It is a curse for those who go through much suffering to get to it. It is a curse for those left behind, a curse for those who mourn, for those who don't understand, who misunderstand. But it is a blessing for those who leave this world and enter into life with God and the coming life that God always had in store for us. There is no one, no one anywhere, exempt from the price of living in this world. Just days ago was the anniversary of the day when a man who was larger than life passed away. It has already been 44 years since the passing of Elvis. We all know that he was a legendary performer who had a publicity machine behind him. People went crazy to see this performer. Yet, in his later years, he was practically a recluse and struggled with substance abuse. Seeing him in his younger years, you'd almost think he'd never die. And frankly, he wasn't that old when he left this life. Only 42. This larger-than-life legend had an untimely death, and so it strikes us, even those who are larger than life, cannot stay in this world. This life is short, but eternity is forever. People forget, though. Many have forgotten that the story of life on this earth is more than the mundane existence that we live and pursue each day. It is more than the hardships and struggles we see each day. It is more than the evil that we see in the world. The forgotten truth for so many is though we live in these bodies to die one day, though our bodies return to dust, we who believe in Christ will live on. We will go to be with God, to be with Jesus. One day, our bodies will rise from the dead. Many a Christian has come back for a time to this earth, only to be disappointed because there are much better things to come. We live in a world where there is sickness, evil, and death. We live in a world where friends, parents, and children can die, and to us, that is grievous. Those who don't know the Lord will mourn and wail when their loved ones pass. This is very heartbreaking. So many folks believe there is nothing once this life is over, yet the Bible tells a different story. And still, many folks don't believe Scripture. Yet there are examples in Scripture, and I have heard a number of stories from people who have been there and have come back, from people who got a glimpse of heaven before they had to return. Psychologists have tried to explain away these experiences, but from some of the folks I've talked to who have had them, they are just too real and too powerful to explain away. They're bigger than our mundane experience. The Apostle Paul acknowledged experiences like this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, "I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses." The anecdotal evidence, and more importantly, the Word of God, tell me that there is a life to come. And for those who believe in Christ, it will be good. No more sickness, pain, death, cruelty, or evil. He will wipe the tears from every eye. When we say Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, we believe it, and we mean it. Joseph got word that his father Jacob was ill. He took his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. It was close to the end. Jacob had to summon strength to raise himself. He told Joseph how God appeared to him and blessed him, promising to make him into a great people and to give him the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession. He spoke of having buried his beloved wife Rachel in Bethlehem. He had lived a full life, and now his time had arrived. The years of life go quickly. They seem slow at first, but as the years pass on, we find ourselves looking back on more and more years, reminiscing that a now distant event seems like yesterday as we look at a fading picture that was once fresh and vibrant. Jacob had reached the time of the blessing, and he wanted to embrace Joseph's sons and bless them. It was a great blessing to him because Joseph had been lost for so many years. He blessed these sons of Joseph, calling on the God of Abraham and Isaac, asking that they may have many descendants. His hands were crossed, the right hand on the younger son's head, the left hand on the firstborn's head. The right hand was the hand of special blessing, and it was custom for the older son to receive the special blessing. Yet, just like Jacob, the younger son and his descendants would be greater than the older one. Jacob gave Joseph one mountain slope that he did not share with Joseph's brothers, which he took from the Amorites. There's some interpretation here, but based on the notes of the Lutheran Study Bible, this may be Shechem, where Joseph would later be buried, and also where Jesus, in John chapter 4, verse 5, would meet the woman at the well. So, as we finish this chapter, the next chapter will concern the blessings given to Joseph's brothers. The fourth commandment says, to honor your father and your mother. Whether we have had a good relationship with them or not, this is the command. My hope is that you did have a good relationship with your parents. It hits most people hard to hear that their parents are ill. We love the people who raised us and cared for us, but we also know that there will come a time when they have to leave us. It can be hard to accept. I remember both of my parents mourning their own parents in different times when they were having a hard time. My own father was sick for many years before he passed away. We had a long time to prepare, and we had many good times with him before he left this earth. We all have to learn to go on when the people we love in this life pass on. It is part of life in this world. It is the hard part of life in this world for many of us. It is the curse that was pronounced in the garden upon the fall. But there are yet blessings to come. We are thankful that my father was faithful, that he knew the Lord. Just as Jacob passed the torch, so to speak, we will have to learn to carry the torch ourselves. But we don't have to be despondent, afraid, or lost, because we know that in spite of the world's evil, there is a man who came to earth 2,000 years ago who lived a perfect life, sacrificed his life for ours by dying on a cross, and who rose again that we might have life. Jesus was the light who came into the darkness of this world. The world and the evil one has tried to snuff out that light, to snuff out the gospel, but God will never let that light go out. When this life is through, those who believe will have life in Christ, and missing from that new life will be the troubles of this life. We will stand again before our Redeemer in the flesh, and that Redeemer is Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we face the troubles of this world as a result of sin, but we know that we do not do so alone. Be with us, Father. Let your Holy Spirit always stir up faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing that when this life is through, we will one day be with you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for all who are afflicted with COVID that they might be healed from their sickness and their injuries, and that they may be restored to their daily lives. Heal those who are dealing with vaccine injuries and illnesses and restore them. Comfort those who have lost loved ones in these circumstances, remembering the promise of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. Be with Christian missionaries everywhere throughout the world who bring the good news of Christ to every corner of the earth. Heavenly Father, we pray for those who seek your protection from cruelty and danger everywhere in the world. Help them to find safety and protection in you, and be with those who face fear, taking refuge in their Savior Jesus. We pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. All of our scriptures come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient